Welcome to Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost attempt at a podcast, where we are interviewing folks in the COVID era to see, well, how they're holding up. My name is Stephanie McGarry.
And I'm Andrew Goff. Yeah, the local crew is still sheltered from one another and from you. So we've been forcing people in the community to join us in the wonder that is Zoom. Steph, are you one of the estimated 100% of people who like chocolate and or music?
and/or music. Yeah, I like both chocolate and, but you know, music? No, I love it. I love both of them.
That is great news. Well, then you are required to love our guest this week from Dick Taylor Chocolates and Huckleberry Flint, Adam Dick. Let's see if technology will allow us to conjure him in here. Adam.
Hello.
Hello, Adam.
How's it going?
Welcome. Oh, good. How's it going with you?
I'm going to disclose this door here for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
This is like, you're like bordering on chocolate catastrophe temperatures here in Humboldt County, which is so weird.
Yes, yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah.
I mean, we always like have to, you know, in the summertime ship everything insulated and with ice packs, but it's like, it's weird when you're in the factory with like all the windows and doors open, hoping it doesn't get too hot in the building.
Is that, that's really a precaution you're taking right now? It's just like to...
We got all the doors open, fans going, just trying to keep it cool as we can.
Yeah. Every degree matters.
Chocolate catastrophe.
Like in Humboldt County, it's not an issue, but it can be.
Great. Okay, well, we'll officially do this. We are joined today by Adam Dick, who is one of the founders of Dick Taylor Chocolate, Humboldt County's co-Willy Wonka, if you will. Adam, thanks for spending some time with us on yet another dreadful screen.
It's okay. We're starting to get used to it. It's like kind of the new normal. And it's funny, sometimes you're like, you know, you get kind of sick of it. But then we had orientation or back to school night for our daughter who's going back to high school at Academy of the Redwoods. And so we had that via Zoom. And I'm like, it's kind of nice. We can have cocktails at back to school night.
There you go.
So sometimes it's convenient.
You found the silver lining. Yeah. Now, we want to talk about Dick Taylor in a bit. But first, let's talk about your other big local resume item. You are the vocalist / banjo / mandolin player in Huckleberry Flint, one of Humboldt's longest lived and most beloved bands. These days, you generally play twice a year for the Christmas show and for the Folklife Festival in the summer. Now, obviously, the Folklife Festival was canceled this year, but you came together for a COVID-appropriate project for a good cause. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, it is interesting, you know, being live musician, thankfully, we don't, like, rely on that for, like, our income. It's kind of more of a, you know, a fun thing and a great social activity here. But it's funny because the last few years, I feel like we were gaining some momentum again, and we were playing more shows. We like played one, and then we were playing like three maybe. And one of the shows we played last year was this. It was a benefit for the North Coast Regional Land Trust out there at their Freshwater Farms location, and it was really fun. It was a beautiful day, really good turnout, food, and just a lovely, lovely afternoon out there. And they were planning on doing it again this year, and that just kind of never was able to happen. So we decided, well, we'll make it happen anyway. And so we're trying to figure out the best way to kind of deliver like a live concert experience. And Zoom like this has just got some shortcomings. And we were worried about trying to stream it live and having possible problems with the live stream. So what we ended up doing was kind of was pre-recording it, which gave us a lot more control over the finished sound and the finished look of how it's going to come out. And so I think it's going to be a really, really fun event to tune into. And I have this vision in my mind of like everybody in Humboldt County broadcasting it outside. So there's just this like blanket of Huckleberry Flint kind of through the neighborhoods.
Now that's it. That's ambitious, Adam.
You got to have dreams. You got to have dreams.
Okay, yeah. So to be clear, like by the time we post this, I think that show will be live and posted online. And we're going to try and embed the video right on the page where this podcast is. But yeah, it's a benefit show for the North Coast Regional Land Trust. And for people who don't know, can you kind of describe what the Land Trust is and what they do?
Yeah, so the Land Trust is a really cool organization that's basically trying to preserve some of the larger privately owned tracts of land in Humboldt County, largely ranches and things like that. Trying to maintain them not only for environmental preservation, but also maintaining these lands as like properties that still will have agriculture done on them in a managed way, timber harvest, agriculture, grazing, things like that. So they're really trying to preserve these last few kind of wild places, it seems like, in Humboldt County that are owned by not timber companies, but private ranchers usually. And I'm probably doing a terrible job of like summarizing what they do, but they've conserved a lot of land in Humboldt County.
Yeah. We will provide some links for people who want to explore what the Land Trust does a little bit more. But I mentioned Huck Flint. I mentioned that you guys are beloved, and it turns out we have actual documented proof of this. You know, you guys have won several annual Humboldt Best Band Awards. Your Christmas show at the Arkley and the Folklife shows, they sell out every year. I was hoping maybe you could just take us through the approaching two-decade arc of Huck Flint. From playing old-timey gospel songs in Eureka alcoves during Arts Live to, you know, the sonically much different full band lineup y'all present now.
Yeah, I know it is interesting to me how we're still doing it. It's still fun. It's still interesting, but it's very different than you know, what it sounded like. And for some reason or somehow we've kind of been able to keep it together or somehow keep this like glue together, even though, like you said, it's very different than when we were just playing acoustically on the street. And a lot of that was driven by, you know, early on we had Mary Beth Taylor played fiddle with us, Dustin's sister-in-law. And because we had that fiddle and it was all, you know, it was all acoustic instruments, it just kind of gravitated towards that. And, you know, old timey and the bluegrass thing was having a huge resurgence at that time that we were playing. It was lots of old timey string bands. So that was just kind of our thing. But then when Mary Beth moved away, there was kind of a void there. And we're like, well, how do we fill that void? And for whatever reason, we were like, rather than fill it with another fiddle player, maybe her shoes are like, you know, too big to fill or whatever. We just filled it basically with a keyboard and an electric guitar. So it took two instruments to fill her spot. But then that kind of drove us in that direction. And it's been really fun. I mean, now that we've played with drums and there was Dustin.
I saw him walking around.
But now that we play with that instrumentation, the ability to explore the dynamics from like really, really quiet to like ear bleedingly loud now are available to you. So that's been really fun. You know, the sound has changed. I feel like what we can do is a lot bigger now.
Well, of course, we have to talk at least a little bit about the chocolate as well. And it seems you're obviously at the factory.
Right now. This is our little, you know, for those of you that haven't been down here, there's a retail store. There's Dustin. Dustin, wait. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
I'll tell you, we only post the audio of this.
It's only Dustin, the audio, so it's just to us. But
I will point out that Dustin's back there wearing a mask, looking good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. So Dustin, your bandmate Dustin Taylor, and you are the co-founders of Dick Taylor Chocolate over in Eureka. And I have to right off the top ask something that is important to me right now because it's so hot. Are you guys doing the fudge pops again this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, the fudge pops are the fudge pops we will always have, largely because we like to eat a fair amount of them. So we have to make sure that our supply is in stock. And so we keep a few extra to sell to people.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Ah, so that's how it is. You actually made them for yourselves.
Yeah, there's a couple extra that we'll sell, but yeah, they're mainly for us. That was one of those things, you know, last year at... Friday night markets, it was kind of a thing like, oh, we should have something fun for people to eat down there at the Friday night market, which is sadly not happening this year. But yeah, the fudge pops are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. We have them all winter long too.
So, and most people I'm sure that are listening to this are, you know, pretty familiar with a company, but we wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the success of you getting your product outside of Humboldt. Like, I know that I think Whole Foods carries your chocolate bars. You know, for other local businesses who would like to take a similar leap, we're wondering, you know, what advice do you have for that? Like, how do you get your product outside of our area?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I, you know, initially, I think when Dustin and I started the business in 2010, I think we just like assumed that we would never be able to sell that much chocolate here locally. You know, we have a very small population and we're selling a chocolate bar that's considerably more than others. And so I think that we felt like the market here would be real small in Humboldt County compared to what we could do. And so we just like from day one, it was like, where will we sell our chocolate out of Humboldt County? And so we just, you know, it was guerrilla marketing tactics at the time. We'd find some other craft small batch chocolate maker we liked, and we'd look at their retail locations and we'd just steal their list, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And so we would email all these stores and beg them, you know, we'll send you samples, please, you know, look at them. And so we'd get, you know, on in a store or two, and that was kind of how it started. But it was always, we always from the beginning looked outside of Humboldt County. And then about 2 years ago or a year and a half, I think we kind of had a real shift in our mindset as we saw, you know, a little bit of traction gaining here in our little tasting room. But we really started marketing and trying to make products that were relevant for locals, things that were exclusive here, and trying to get people to come in and engage with the process and what we're doing. And it was really, really successful. And so I feel like now it's almost like we kind of let the wholesale side grow kind of organically, and we do some marketing there, but largely what we're doing is really just trying to engage with the people here. And there's a lot of people in Humboldt County that want to buy a lot of chocolate. I love them. Yeah. The best people around.
Yeah. Now, is there any way, you know, in 2020 for you to, for people to gauge like a metric of how big Dick Taylor is at this point? Like, is there any numbers you could go up that you'd be comfortable throwing out that would let people know like what the scale of this is at this point?
Yeah, I know, it's interesting. I just looked at last year because we just had to redo some stuff for our some of our organic compliances, and we purchased like 49,000 pounds of cocoa beans and used 11,000 pounds of sugar.
Okay.
Like 20. We produce maybe 22 or 23 tons of chocolate annually, and this year's been actually a pretty good year, surprisingly. So we may do more than that. And that sounds like a lot. I know people are like, oh my gosh, 20 tons, 25 tons. Like, where does that all go? But when you think that most large scale manufacturers probably would produce that in like a 30 to 45 minute time frame. So you're like, it's just like, we're so small still.
Yeah.
You feel like it's a big thing. And you know, it's exciting as more and more people learn about it, but we're still pretty darn small in the scope of how chocolate is manufactured.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, chocolate itself is very popular, but like what you guys do as kind of a craft chocolate, it's somewhat rare, right? There's not a lot of people, there's not a lot of small craft chocolate producers.
Right. Yeah. And when we started, there was probably maybe 30 or so, and that counted the large scale ones like, you know, Archer Daniels Midland and Cargill and Blommer and Nestle and Hershey. But there weren't that many. And since then, now there's probably, you know, 150 or so. But there's a lot of chocolatiers, people that buy and already produce chocolate and then make that into amazing, you know, truffles and these confections that, you know, are to die for. So that's just another aspect of it. But there are very relatively few producers of chocolate from the cocoa bean.
Yeah. So you touched on it a little bit. You said that actually this year business has still been surprisingly good. Kind of curious, you know, how COVID has impacted Dick Taylor. You know, have you had to change? I mean, I imagine that just like everyone, you at least have had to change your day-to-day operations a little bit. How has that been?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously the sanitation is different. The way that we like space people at workstations, that's different. We are wearing masks 8 hours a day. That's different. But I think some of the things that, you know, one thing that was a little surprising, I guess, is we, you know, when we first got the shelter in place, we Dustin and I kind of, you know, like a lot of people really kind of panicked, and we laid everybody off. We were like, let's all stay at home for a couple weeks and see what's, you know, if we can ride this thing out. And Dustin and I came in, we had a little bit of an inventory of product built up. And so we offered free shipping, and just Dustin and I were shipping all the stuff. And the order volume that we saw online with the free shipping was staggering. And so it was Dustin and I shipping as fast as we could. And so largely that stayed. We have still seen much stronger online sales than we ever have. And so it just seems like people really shifted the way that they purchase. And, you know, something that I'm like, I don't think people would buy chocolate online. Well, sure enough, they do. And I think, you know, we've had an opportunity, really, when you look at it, to gather an online customer base at a faster rate than we probably ever will see again in our, you know, in our business. It was an interesting, you know, kind of opportunity. One thing that's very different, though, is the margin on the direct to consumer retail is much higher, but the volume is much lower, right? We're in a sense producing less chocolate, but we're kind of, you know, making the same overall dollar amount, I guess that kind of makes sense. And so it's just interesting how you have to, now you're thinking, okay, how much do I make for this holiday season? Is it going to be more direct to consumer? Is wholesaler that, you know, is that going to be slower? So we're trying to project some of those things and see how consumer buying habits have changed. This holiday will be interesting.
Can I assume that the holiday season is when you guys ship the most, or there's the most demand for chocolate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like once September hits through the end of the year is like full on usually. It's crazy.
Wow. And you've been able to hire back your staff and everything now? And
yeah, we have. Everybody is back for the most part. The retail staff never quite got back to where it was. I mean, we're open and we do curbside, and you can come in and shop in the boutique. We're not doing any tasting currently. We'll wait until some of that stuff changes. But you still can come in and see all that stuff. So the retail staff isn't quite back yet, but we've brought on one kind of like already like our first kind of very part-time seasonal help just to start with some of the early production.
As you look to the future, as things you'd like to accomplish with Dick Taylor that you haven't yet, like what are some goals to reach for?
One of our goals, I'm sure that everybody knows, you know, it's not a rumor anymore, but we're going to need to move out of our building. Our landlord is looking to sell the building, and will probably be a little more than we can purchase it for, because it's in the cannabis zone. So we are looking to move, and we're really trying to work on a really cool new potential location, which I think is just going to allow us, hopefully after the pandemic is over, to really just continue to develop this customer, you know, our like Eureka facing side, and really trying to get people through, educate them about chocolate, where it comes from, how it's made, some of the ethics and thoughts behind that. And so just a bigger space, a little more retail space, a little more like tour friendly facility where we can get people through in a little bit easier way to check it out. That's like probably like our biggest goal in the short term.
So new chocolate factory. And you mentioned, you know, so new location, but just to be clear and to make everyone not worry, like Dick Taylor is not leaving Humboldt or Eureka.
No, we're pretty darn committed to Eureka. Dustin and I both live in Eureka, and we like to ride our bikes to work, so it's pretty convenient.
Good.
You want to say anything about maybe where this potential new location may be?
It's going to be pretty a prime location in Eureka. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
People probably already know, but
Adam, if people already know, then why don't you just?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Soon enough.
Still okay. in the works. I am curious, of course. I have to ask, what's new at Dick Taylor? Do you have any exciting new chocolate experiments?
What we do, you know, so we do every month. There's always an experiment, but every month we do a little micro batch bar. So that's like our monthly experiment. It's something we only make probably 300 to 500 bars. and you can just buy them here in our store or online. And so the last one we did was it had freeze-dried blackberries in it with bergamot essential oil. So it was this blackberry bergamot. It was really tasty. The next month is going to be kind of more on the like savory side. I won't leak that to you either. And we've had things.
Secrets.
We did a really dark. Willy Wonka had secrets. Yeah,
I know. This is very similar. That my suspicions that the chocolate world is full of strange secrets have been.
You can't just give everybody the ingredients to the everlasting gobstopper.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny though, because when we make just two ingredient dark chocolate, and so. There's, you know, just cocoa beans and cane sugar, and it's a weight ratio, you know, based on those two things. So like a 75% bar is 75% cocoa nibs, right? So that's the recipe right there. Most of our bars, the recipe is just right there on the front.
I've always enjoyed it. Like I've been to, you know, a few of your guys's tastings, and like, you know, I think a lot of people don't know that you can the level of chocolate appreciation that a person could have. Like when you're up there explaining it, you know, it feels like a wine tasting, and you're talking about, you know, I don't even have the vocabulary to be able to do an impression of you, but like it's you know, these notes in this, you know, like
yeah. It's interesting because there's a lot of variety in cocoa beans, and we don't, you know, that's just not something that people have an opportunity to explore, because most of the chocolate that's available, like on the grocery store shelf, is blended. It's not single origin. They don't have origin statements around it. So it's, you know, I mean, it's like, I think when people come, they're like, oh my gosh, it's so different. They just have never considered it because it was never presented to them. Yeah. So that's what, you know, that's so fun for us to be able to do that education and to get people to say, okay, chocolate is not just chocolate. It has all this other nuance and other interestingness to it.
And as part of that, you know, you've traveled all over the world to, you know, see the places where your guys' beans are sourced.
Yeah, we have been to origins where we can. You know, it's always tricky running a business as hands-on as we do. When we leave to go to origin, it's kind of like, you know, there's less people watching the factory back here. But we do it when we can, and it's we've visited farms that we've already purchased from. We've been to places where we would like to purchase, but just we haven't been able to quite figure out the logistics to get them here. But yeah, it's a great excuse to travel and see some really, really beautiful, like rural, far out there places, Humboldt County of the Solomon Islands.
Okay, yeah. Solomon Island, yeah.
Which is already like Solomon Island out there, and then you go even further out there and you're like, man, this is we're far out there.
What are some other places that you've gone to in order to, you know, scope beans?
Let's see, we've been to the Solomon Islands, we went to Guatemala. With a project that we did with Blue Bottle Coffee a bunch of years ago. And then Dustin's been over to Hawaii and looked at a lot of places there. We've been toying around for a while though, trying to do like a very small limited release of a Hawaiian cacao. There isn't a lot of cacao grown there, and most of the local Hawaiian chocolate producers get it all. So.
I don't know. I'm always impressed by you and the fact that your contributions to Humboldt, music and chocolate, you've carved out a pretty nice life for yourself of bringing joy and smiles to people around here.
Oh, thank you. I feel like it's reciprocated. Yeah. I feel like if people didn't come to our shows, we probably wouldn't play, you know. So it's like it's this circular thing that happens where there's a lot of community support. It makes you want to invest more in the community, and it just kind of propagates itself. So
well, anyway, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day to have a brief talk with us. Again, you can check out Huck Flint's benefit show for the North Coast Regional Land Trust, probably right on the same page you are listening to this podcast. And you can find Dick Taylor chocolates on many a local shelf. And any other Huck Flint or Dick Taylor plans or info you want to throw out into the county?
Yeah, I mean, I do want to iterate just so people know, and I'm sure you'll say it, but the show's totally free. You do not have to donate to watch the show. You can just show up there and just enjoy it. So I don't want people to be like intimidated by that. And as far as the band goes, we'll see. I think that there's yet more top secret. But I think there's some creative juices flowing. We're trying to, we might be winter trying to get another album out with some new material.
Okay, yeah. And that reminds me, I was going to ask you, I have to assume at this point that you're probably not planning on doing an Arklay Christmas show. I mean, unless things drastically change around here.
Right. Yeah, that's not necessarily feeling like something that will happen. I think, have an album for everybody, but that might be a tall order for us in our busiest chocolate season to also try to get something put out like that. But I think that's kind of maybe where we're all feeling that tendency next. I think everybody's feeling kind of creative and wanting to do something like that. So maybe
back in the studio and look for new Huck Flint music sometime in the future.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, joining us. We'll let you get back to chocolateering. Is that how you would say it? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sweating at this point, but yes.
All right.
All right. Stay cool. Adam.
All right, that's it. I'm feeling a big urge for a Dick Taylor fudge pop. Steph, would you like me to mask up and drop you by 100?
Yeah, that would be great. I'm assuming you can get them at the shop. I actually.
Yes, that is where you get them, and I can confirm this, having picked them up previously. So anyway, thank you all for getting this far in the podcast, you weirdo.
Congratulations.
Be safe, be good. We got this.
And stay cool out there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.